Verse 31. 15:31, 1 Corinthians. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, God's Gladiators. God's Gladiators. 1 Corinthians 15:31, three words. I die daily. You know, one of the things that I always love about God's word is the simplicity and the meat and potatoes simplicity that the Bible has. You can't take those three words and do much with them to change them. They're absolute. I die daily. Before we look into that, let's pray. Spirit of God, I thank you for putting this text on my mind this week, and thank you for helping me note it. And pray now that you would speak directly to your people. Let me just be the vessel, Lord, and pray that if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, that today would be the day they'd meet the captain of their salvation for the first time. Pray today that if comfort is needed, you might bring that. Meet our needs where we are right now, today, Lord, with this message. We know your word doesn't go out without accomplishing something, so we look forward to what you're going to do for all of us or some of us. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. I die daily. In writing our text, Paul probably had the thought of a band of gladiators in the amphitheater. They walk in, they go to where the section where the emperor is, they bow their heads, they raise their shields, saluting the emperor, Hail Caesar! We're going to die, we salute you. That's what they used to say. And then those same gladiators would go into the arena and get into a fight which only had one ending, death. I think Paul's point using I die daily, his point was that God's elect children are his gladiators sent into the world arena to fight. Every one of you that are born, again, you're a God's gladiator, and you were born, reborn, if you will, to fight. And in the battle, we must turn our eyes to Christ and say, Hail, Master. We who are dying daily salute you every day. It's a privilege to die for Christ every day. With that in mind, we should know that our text is addressed to only born-again believers. If you're listening to this and you haven't yet come to Christ, there's a message for you at the end of this text. So just hang on a moment while we get through this. I die daily, and I say it's a message for believers because I die daily is not a term that a drunkard or an adulterer or a thief or any lost soul would say or even understand. You go up to somebody that's lost and say, you know, I'm dying daily. What does that mean? For those outside of Christ, it's actually a contradiction of words. And that's because the lost are not. They are not God's gladiators. Rather, instead, they do have a job. They're sin bearers. Not shield bearers, but sin bearers. They bear sin. And the only thing they fight against is leaving this life. They fight against dying. They don't want to die. Like brute beasts, their minds are not open to the spiritual things of God. Proof verse, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you tell them something spiritual, they don't get it. But for God's gladiators, the words, I die daily, are a banner that we should be raising every single day for the world to see as we march through this life. And that's really what we're doing. I die daily is a Christian call to give up the old and embrace the new. You didn't do that before you were saved. You were just like them, like all the lost. I die daily is a duty that every genuine believer is called upon to do. It's a duty to die daily. And I'm going to explain what that means in a few minutes. So this morning I'd like to share with you two aspects of dying daily, what it means, just two little aspects of it. The physical aspect of dying daily and the spiritual aspect of dying daily. First, let's look at this, the physical aspect. Paul used the term "I die daily" as a reference to his physical life. We know that's true if you look down in chapter 15 to verse 30. In verse 30, he asks, "And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?" He wrote, "I die daily," to illustrate that every day he was willing to put his head on the block for the call of Christ. He was willing to do it every day. And in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 27, he testified about the constant danger his life was in. Listen to what he says. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 40 was a killer, but 39 they could bear. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers amongst false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. How about that? Think you had a bad day or you're having a bad life? Hook up with that. You see, the apostle was willing to suffer all these things for two very good reasons. Two reasons he suffered all of that. Never complained. Once, when God put the thorn in his side, he asked him, "Take it out, it hurts." Lord said, "Nope. In your weakness, my power is made perfect." In other words, what he was saying was that you need that. And I need you to do something. And that was to write most of the New Testament. Kept his feet on the ground. But for two reasons, he went through that. First of all, he knew God's gladiator, his life no longer belonged to him. Paul knew his life wasn't his when he got saved. He knew it. It belonged to God. And then he testified to that, of course, in Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He didn't live for himself. What does that mean? That means all the things in the past he counted as rubbish. He says that somewhere else. "I counted as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." He didn't care. Wasn't about him anymore. That's the secret. That's what a lot of 21st evangelical Christians have to realize. It's not about you anymore. It's about him. And he backed that up in Romans 14:8. "Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're bought with the price, the Bible says. You're not yours. We have the tendency of thinking, well, you know, I do this and I count one day the words "I," "me," or "mine." Just count them. We tend to do that. And the Bible says that you are not yours anymore. You are not your own property. You now belong to Christ. In Galatians 6:17, Paul testified. He actually testified that he was God's gladiator. He says, "From henceforth, from now on, let no man trouble me." And here's why. "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with a cat of nine tails, 39 wet lashes with that. Yes, his body bore the marks of Christ. It wasn't him, his body. He was living for Christ, and he suffered that for Christ. Now I want to bring this home to you. Let me ask you, if you were asked to prove that you're God's gladiator, how would you respond? First of all, let me ask you this. Before you heard it, did you think you were a gladiator? Did you think you were a fighter? A show of hands, how many people like confrontation? That's what I thought. Nobody. Nobody. And whether you know it or not, you're in confrontation every day as a born-again believer. And the person you're in the biggest confrontation with is yourself. But the question remains, now that you know you're a gladiator, does the way you live your life right now give evidence that you belong to Jesus, or do you belong to somebody else? Are you spending time in the little kingdom of I a little too much? Is the flesh pulling your chain a little too much? That's a sobering question that you and I should ask ourselves every day. Beloved, our lives, each and every one of our lives, should reflect our faith and our love of God every day. It should reflect it. That's the light. That's the light that goes out. My faith and my love of God. My love of God is shown in my obedience and submission to His Word, and my faith is shown in my application of this book into my life. Another physical aspect of I Die Daily is that our earthly bodies are not suitable for the eternal realm. I mean, when we go into space now, we have to have special clothing. We have to have, like, you know, space clothes, right? Helmets, oxygen, all that stuff. We have to be protected from radiation, right? This body is very temporary, and it's very, very fragile. Very fragile. Now, Paul explains all of this perfectly in 1 Corinthians 15, a little further up, or down rather, 42 to 44. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44. Talking about the body, he says, it is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And then in verse 50, he sums all of that up in 9 words. Meat and potatoes, simple. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get into heaven with that body. You can't do it. It's got to go. That's why in verses 54 to 55, let me just go back. It's got to go, but you got to also remember, Paul knew, and I pray that you know, that death is not a cessation of life. It's a transference of life. It's taking your soul and your spirit and bringing it in an instant to glory and putting it in an imperishable body, a spiritual body. There's no such thing as death as a cessation of life for anybody, for any being that's a higher being. Animals, yes. Not angels nor human beings. The two classes of intellect. They are immortal. They have a beginning, but they'll never have an end. When we leave this place, we will in an instant, if you're saved, you'll have an imperishable body in glory. If you're lost, you'll have an imperishable body in hell. Either way, you're here forever. You're never gonna die. We have to understand that about death. That's what it means. I die daily. You died to Christ when you accepted Him as your Savior. When you're living for Christ, you're dying for Him every day, every single day. Paul knew that death wasn't a cessation. That's why, and how do we know that true? Because look down at verses 54 and 55. Paul cried out, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? There is no victory in death. None. So as God's gladiator, Paul had no problem whatsoever putting his life in jeopardy every day because he knew you can't lose. And he confirms that. He does in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain. That's called I care, but I don't care. I care because if I die, I care about the process of dying, but I don't care that I die because I know I'm not going to lose my intellect. I'm not going to lose anything except an imperishable body, and I'm going to be in glory. A third aspect of I die daily is dying to self. Here's where the rubber hits the road. That other stuff is important, but this is really important. Dying to self. For God's gladiators, dying to self means putting death to death the two roaring lions that live within every soul. Living in your soul, your soul, your soul, and your soul are two living lions. Our will, which is really our modified to our choice, and the flesh. Those are the two things you struggle with every day of your life. These lions are trying to kill and quench the indwelling spirit of God. That's the war the Bible talks about in Romans 7. Every day they try to claw their way and bite their way back into controlling your life. Every day. And it's for sure. Guess what? You can't put them in a cage. You can't appease them by giving them a little piece of what they want. You can't do that either. You can't control them with excuses or justification. You can't do that. You can't run away from them by ignoring them. You can't do that. No. As God's gladiators, every day you must face these two roaring lions. You have to face them every day. You must take the sword of the Lord, which is his word, and you need to put them to death every time they roar into your life. You have to put them to death. And one way you can kill these beasts is by standing on the promises of God. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. Let me tell you how you stand on that. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. I have a new promise. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I have somebody that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a promise that I can stand on when those lions come into my life. That's the sword that I wield or weld or whatever it's called when they come in. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against God? Nobody. And that promise is made for us as believers. And how about Philippians 4:13 to give us some strength to wield the sword of the Lord? I can do all things. You can do anything you want to do. The only thing you can't do is what you don't want to do. And there's another way to get the victory over these two lions. They're terrible. You have to starve them to death. You can starve these lions to death every day. And we starve them how? We starve them by worshiping God. By praying, by singing hymns, when we meditate on Scripture, and when we say we must decrease that he may increase. Those are things that starve them, because once you start doing those things, once you start filling your mind and your heart with the things of God, there's no meat for them. There's no room for them. There's nothing they can do. Proof verse, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. You make God the centerpiece of your life every day, every moment of the day. Those two lions won't want any taste of you at all, because you'll be so filled with God's word that there's nothing there for them. They know it. The lions of self and will, they won't prey on you anymore if you do that. And I know that some of you have even done that. Some of you have even felt hunted by these lions. Why am I being tormented? Why is my will, my mind working this way? Or why do I feel this need to do this, this lust of my eyes or my ears or my tongue, whatever it is? Why? You can feel the presence of those lions. And the only way you can slay them is by standing on the promises of God, or starving them by filling your life with this, making God the centerpiece of your life while they're there. And I have a proof verse for that. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." You trust in God. There's nothing there for the lions to roar about. There's no meat there. You see, beloved, there's no lion's meat in a gladiator that rests and trusts in Christ. None. they go away. Now let's look at the spiritual aspect of I die daily. You're going to fight in the spiritual realm. Instead of lions, you're going to fight a dragon. Satan. You're going to fight devils and demons. They're real. I know a lot of people don't believe that today, but they're as real as rain. They're as real as the heart beating in your chest. And looking at the dragon, Satan, and his minions, you have to remember that although the dragon is a powerful, there's nothing like him, as the hymn we sang, A Mighty Fortress. There's nothing like him on this earth. Although he is a powerful archangel, a beast, he's a beast who commands a host of devils and demons. You're God's gladiators. What that means is you are the sovereign, adopted children of God. You have more power than he does because you wield the power of his word. And as adopted children, God has given his gladiators all the power they need to put the dragon and all of those devils to death. Jesus ordained, he ordained that truth in Luke 10:19. Listen, Luke 10:19, remember to write it down. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. It doesn't say some of the enemy, the lower class enemy, the infantry. It says all the enemy. I give you the power to trample all the enemy on, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is an ordained gift from God to his children. You're an archangel, you're powerful, you're all that. But God, who created you, said, I have the power through him to put you to death in my life. You got to remember that. And you know what? Not just remember it, you have to claim it. And those things that says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, nothing by of anything will hurt you. And it doesn't just necessarily mean Satan or demons or anything. Doesn't matter what it is. You have the power to overcome. You have the victory already in Christ because he got the victory. There's a passage in the Bible when the 70 came back and they testified that they were casting out demons and healing people. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. That was the victory. You have that victory in Christ. The other spiritual aspect of I die daily is personal sin. It's another thing where the rubber hits the road. This is the other beast of God's gladiators that you have to put to death. You have to look at your spiritual life like a gladiator. When you got it, I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Gladiator, but here was in history, here was the rules. You went in there with another person, and only one of you came out alive. You died. It's that simple. It was horrible. You died. Fighting was there, was they were trained for it. They did all the things they could do to make them ready to fight, but only one would ever walk out. You have to have the same mental attitude, if you will, that they had, in that every day you're entering the arena of this world because you're the child of God. There's forces arrayed against you to steal your joy or help or to make you leak your joy, to lower your faith. Make you give your faith, your joy, your peace, all the things that God has died to give you, they want to take it away because that's the best they can do. And so you have to go into every single day. I did it with a motorcycle. When I used to drive a bike, I got on the bike. I had one one accident that was almost, it would have been fatal. But, of course, God interceded. Every time after that, I sat on that bike, I put the key in the ignition, put the helmet on, and I said, Lord, keep me from dying. Help me, Lord, to watch everything that's going on because somebody out there wants me to die. I know it. And I can't tell you how many times that as I'm riding a motorcycle, I came very close to accidents. And I want to tell you this, okay? He did that. So I get rid of the bike. To this very day, when I get in my car, I do the same thing. Because the car today is no different than a motorcycle was back in the 70s. There's nut jobs out there traveling at 90 miles an hour, going through traffic like this. And I ask God every day, give me the wisdom and keep me safe. Then I turn the key on. A habit that I never broke. You need to develop a habit like that in your spiritual life. Every day, before you do anything, open your eyes and just say, Lord, I'm your gladiator today, and I'm going to go out into a world. I have no idea what you got planned for me. I know you gave me a sword, very sharp, and I know how to use it. Give me the strength and the wisdom to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And keep that attitude throughout the day. And then watch what happens. You'll have a better day. Even if it's terrible, you'll have a better day. It's the attitude. He's given you the power. And what does James 4:7 add to that? Not only did Jesus ordain to give you the power, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He doesn't say, argue with him. He doesn't say, carry on a dialogue with him. He said, resist him. How do you resist evil? How? With good. How did Jesus resist Satan in the temptation in the wilderness? God's word. Same applies here. This is a sword in every sense of the word. It's a sword. Sin enters the arena of your life every day and spars with us in different ways. It spars with us mentally. We sin with our minds sometimes, don't we? When something goes into our mind, we entertain it, and it offends God, and we entertain it. It's a sin. We don't have to do it. We can just entertain it in our mind, and it's a sin. We also sin against God physically. That is, we do things that we know are wrong. We also do it emotionally. That is, that we allow our emotions, anger, jealousy, envy, to get the best of us, and we commit a sin when we do that. It spars with us every day. So as every day, God's gladiators have to be ready to put to death the terrible lion we call sin. Every day. And we do that by going to the spiritual armory. I want to take you to Ephesians 6. Go there with me, please. Ephesians 6. I'm going to go through verses 13 through 17. This is how you defeat sin. What I'm doing is I'm giving you a battle plan for you to use every single day of your life. This isn't just a message you hear and then you listen to it on tape. Oh, that's wonderful. You got to put it in here and then you got to put legs to it. You have to put legs to it. If you're not going to apply it, then go to sleep because it isn't going to do you any good. Ephesians 6, 13 and 17. Look at verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil in the day, and having done all, to stand firm. I'd have you know, standing firm, what it means. Because in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore. Stand. It means standing firm. My feet are locked. Not running, not yielding, just following Christ. Not a backward retreat. Just following Christ. Stand firm and follow Christ. I have a proof for us that that's what it means. Matthew 10:38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. If you're a born-again believer, you're called to take that cross, bear it, and that is with your life, go through your life and the things that you're going to go through in your life every day, bear that, biblically bear it, and you do that by standing firm. You stand firm on this. If you don't stand firm on God's word, you're going to stand firm on something else. And anything, the Bible says, other than this is sinking sand. There's no foundation in it. This has the foundation. The belt of truth. That means truthful, sincere, and having a good conscience. How many times have you been in a conversation with somebody or an argument with somebody or even something even other than that, and you didn't have a good conscience? How'd that work out for you? How did it work out to have a disagreement with somebody and your conscience was pricked because you knew that you were wrong, but you wouldn't face it? It's a weak position. He's saying, truthful, sincere, and having a good conscience. That's what the belt of truth is. The truth is what keeps God's gladiator unencumbered in battle. What that means, as you're fighting sin or one of the other lions, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no fear, nothing. Just standing on the promises and standing firm or moving forward. That's it. How about the breastplate of righteousness? In that verse, it's joined together with truth, which means righteousness in works and truth in words. Christ's righteousness was imputed to us. It's a position we have. We are the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the righteousness imputed to us, coupled with his truth, is the breastplate that verse is talking about. And it covers your chest, your heart, vital organs. Look at verse 15. Not only does he give you a breastplate and a belt, he got shoes. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Paul's referring to being prepared. You have the shoes on, you're prepared to suffer all that God wills that you suffer. Listen, I want to tell you something else. There's not one tear that you'll ever shed or one pain you'll ever feel that wasn't ordained. Do you understand that? If you don't believe that, read Job. Read Job. Not one tear or not one pain is not ordained. It's all ordained. That's why you're to stand firm, because you have the power to deal with it. It may hurt. It may leave a mark. But he says, "I give you power, and in no way will it harm you." And what he's saying is it may hurt and it may even kill you, but that's not bad because you'll be going to glory. And anywhere between here and there, he's with you all the way. That's a wonderful thought. Where in the world could you find somebody that would give you that guarantee? You can't hire a bodyguard. You couldn't get the Secret Service to get that close to you. Not to mention they don't have the power. Well, maybe in some people's son's case, who are Secret Service agents. Okay. Look at verse 16. Oh, let me go back. As God's gladiators, we should always be at peace because of the gospel and the hope and confidence it brings. I want to tell you something. If you're even a newborn Christian, if you don't have peace from this book, and you don't have confidence that God is there for you all the time, there's a problem. You should have peace and confidence in everything that you do because he's telling you, "I'm there." And if you don't, then you don't believe what he's telling you. It's that simple. That's why going into battle, I remember so clearly being in war games when I was in the Navy. I knew they weren't going to really shoot torpedoes at us and bomb us. I knew that. But in my mind, I was planning for an attack that may come someday. You got to remember, I was in the military in the 60s, and there was a lot of stuff going on back then. And so I took every one of our general quarter alerts, battle alerts, I took them seriously. And so did every other ship member. And I had confidence in our ship and our defenses and in the men that I was with. I had confidence in it. Even unto death. You have to understand something. When you fight, it's not a fight to just win. It's a fight that goes on every day that you have to win. Because if you don't win, you lose. That's an absolute truth. And what do you lose? You lose a little bit of joy. You lose a little bit of faith. And after a while, that adds up. That's why there's so many chronic complaining Christians in the world today. They complain about everything. Why? Because they're in a state of unbelief. You should have confidence. You should be unencumbered by anything fear, guilt, anything, all gone. Because you have a sovereign God that says, I'll back you up. He fights for us as well. Now look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts is a reference to arrows that used to be shot in warfare that had a flammable thing attached to it. They'd shoot it, and it would catch either people on fire or buildings or huts or whatever. You've probably all seen them in some movies. That's what that's referring to. But it's the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, trying to pierce your heart, trying to put out the fire that's in you, believe it or not. The words above all, if you look carefully in the original language, it means overall or most importantly. The shield of faith is one of the most important parts of the armor that you need to beat these lions that are in your life. It covers all the armor. It covers the breastplate, the belt of truth, the shoes, the gospel of peace. And you cover them with the shield of faith. For God's gladiators, the shield of faith is our most important armor against sin. And again, we have proof verses. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. You have God's word in your heart. That's the shield of faith. Then Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. God's word is a shield to your heart. It gives you strength. It protects you from the devil. It protects you from yourself, from the lust of the flesh. And now lastly, in verse 17, we're to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This helmet of salvation refers to hope in salvation and eternal life. That's what salvation is about. It's about you being a member of God's family and you having eternal life with that salvation. And also the head of a person is the seat of the mind. And when the mind clings to eternal hope, when you have that, no temptation or false doctrine can overpower it. Proof verse, Psalm 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. You guys get that? That it really is a warfare. And you really do need this armor to help you put to death these things that trouble you. And these things that trouble you are not going to go away. They're going to be there. And they're there for a good reason. Because every time you get the spiritual victory over any of the things that trouble you, any of the things that you have to fight against every day, every time you get the victory, you grow. You know, I do a little working out, and I got to tell you, when I work out regularly, man, it feels terrific. It really does. When I don't work out so much, it's okay, but there's something different. And the same thing applies here. You have all the tools you need to live a victorious life. I'm not saying you're going to live a life that's pain-free. You're going to live a life of luxury. I'm not saying any of that. A victorious life means that you get through this life and you have all the tools you need to get through it and get through it in a way that glorifies God and at the same time helps you to grow in Christ. And that's really what you're left here for, to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. And these tools are, they're actually tools that God gives us. They're metaphors. Actually, I'm going to tell you that in a second. When we look at God's spiritual armor, the things we just looked at, you know what it really is? It's a metaphor. But you know what it's a metaphor of? It's a reality photo of God's gladiators putting on the attributes of Christ. Everything we just mentioned are attributes of Christ. That's what it is. Oh, somebody has that already, the spiritual armor, and that's what it is. It is the attributes of Christ. You put Christ on every day, in other words. You use what he's given you to fight with. And I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you're an old person like me. I don't care who you are. You'll win every time. Putting on the attributes of Christ, you'll always win. You'll never lose. Ever. It's only when we take on God, take on as his gladiators the attributes of Christ, that you're able to defeat the physical and the spiritual aspects of I die daily. You can't do it any other way. You cannot die daily on your own. You can just die, spiritually speaking, every day, a little piece at a time. And you get to a certain point, you're going to become a castaway. You're not going to be able to do anything for God. You're not going to be able to serve God. Your prayers are going to be like mumbling, nothing, because you let yourself get beat down so far. And I believe, this is my opinion, if I had my place, I'd put my Bible over there. It's an opinion. I don't give those too often, but here's one. I believe that God only lets us go so far. And if we don't help ourselves, you're blood bought. You ain't going nowhere. He'll help you. But you have to. You really have to understand that this is not just stuff you put in your head. This is stuff you think about every day. In closing, I would add, there's a wonderful side benefit of dying daily. And what that is that you can see, you can feel, and you can experience the power we have in Christ as his elect to defeat any force that assails itself against us. You can defeat any of them. Remember, in Luke 10:19, Jesus ordained his words, behold, I give you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a promise from God himself. And it belongs to every single born-again believer. So for my brothers and sisters in Christ, go home rejoicing, and don't just think of yourself as a Christian. You're more than a Christian. Instead, go home knowing you're a God's gladiator and you are endowed with power and victory over every lion that threatens your life. May God grant you the strength and the faith to claim that title every single day. And for those who are lost or claim Christ, but you don't want to die daily, you don't have a desire for that, you like church, you like the ceremonial stuff, if that's you, my message to you is you're already spiritually dead to God because you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you're dying physically a little bit every day. And before you know it, judgment day is coming. Before you know it, it'll be upon you. So I leave you with the question. How do you think you'll do when you stand before the sovereign God and you're judged for your sins? How do you think you'll do when you stand before the sovereign God and you're judged for your sins? I think if you're not saved and you heard that, you already know the answer. Not good. If you don't like that answer and you'd like to know how to become God's gladiator, you call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you how he wants to give you the authority and the power you need to fight every lion that comes into your life. I leave you with the words of 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life to which you were also called. Let's pray. Father, many of us are not, we don't like confrontation, but Lord, as Christians, we're here, and that's really what we're going to do. Would you grant us the wisdom to understand that? And then, Lord, would you help us to every day put on the armor of God so that we can have the attributes of Christ and to help us get through all the adversities that we face in this life? For there are many, Lord. But we can do it through Christ because he's given us the victory in everything. Victory over the world is our faith, and that gift was given to us. So help us, Lord, to not just hear this, but help us to remember that we're not just Christians. We are God's gladiators who have to fight every day, and we can have the victory in Christ and glorify him in you if you'll help us. We know it's your will, so we ask it with faith, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.